It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, January 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Tomorrow, the International Consumer Electronics Show kicks off. But today, the swarms of company reps and entrepreneurs arrive in Las Vegas. And there's already buzz on several topics. One of those is the Internet of Things. But not the idea of a toaster that talks to the fridge. We've been talking about that since last year. This year, it's about exactly how all of our devices will communicate. Marketplace's Queena Kim takes a look.
You know what the Internet is, right? Well, the Internet of Things. Scott Jacobson is a venture capitalist at the Madrona Venture Group.
So the Internet of Things is basically this idea that everyday objects that will be able to connect to the Internet will be able to communicate with each other.
And the more we connect the Internet to things like thermostats, refrigerators, and even cars, the smarter they get. Jacobson says a few things are driving this trend. Sensors have gotten really cheap, and so you can detect sound and take images with almost any electronic gadget. And then there's the cloud.
And so once they get connected, all of the computing that needs to be done for these things can be done in the cloud.
Frank Gillette is an analyst at Forrester Research. He says expect to see a lot of the Internet of Things around the home at the Consumer Electronics Show this week.
There's a range of things here. There's door locks that can be Wi-Fi enabled that you can unlock from your phone.
But Gillette says the real question is, how do we make everything work together? It's like the conundrum of the million remote controls you need to make your TV work. And that one has yet to be solved. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
Another big topic ahead of CES is television, smart TVs, also more high-definition programming. But as more and more of us stream our content, what does the future of television really look like? I'm not talking about pixels. I'm talking about licenses and how interactive new programming might be. So let's put that question to our friend Jonathan Zittrain at Harvard about the future of television and even going to the movies. Professor Zittrain, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
So some interesting cases are pointing towards the future of television, or at least the way we might consume it.
Yes, we've had, coming out of the federal courts interpreting, among other things, copyright law, a case around a company called Aereo, and another case involving a service from Dish Network called Hopper.
And these sort of way that these two specific cases have played out is suggesting maybe a little bit more power on the side of the consumer these days in terms of television watching and how we get our television, et cetera. How might this play out? What are you sort of thinking about as you look forward over the next, 5 years?
My guess is we'll end up with a set of appliances that will see things that attempt to bridge between the computer world and the legacy worlds of cable, satellite, and broadcast television. It really may turn out that watching 22-minute programs is just not what people are into, and things might turn more interactive. There may be things that are now thought of more niche-like as games that will become something that's very much more mainstream entertainment, and that watching actors recite rehearsed lines with props may just turn out to be a small niche application. And I think that's a parallel question, too, even of what do we do with movie theaters?
Well, and the point that you bring up that I think is really interesting here is, will we want that experience passively?
Yes. And in fact, you might say, if we're going to bother to gather all those people in the theater, wouldn't it be interesting that the movie has 16 different endings, or what the ending is like is actually dynamically generated as more and more movies are completely computer generated? Think Pixar.
Yep.
There's no reason to think you couldn't actually on the fly generate an ending responsive to the audience in the room. You could see something like that, which would make coming out to the theater more of a communal experience.
An amazing possible future. Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder of Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
Here is a new gadget that you probably won't find in Las Vegas this week. It's called the Blue Tips with a Z, and it is changing the way people are ice fishing, namely by letting them stay in the shack where the heater and the beers are. Instead of checking the tip-ups, the doohickey that pops up when the fish is on the line, you just check your phone. Brad Zdroik's company Deep Freeze makes ice fishing gear in Wisconsin, including Blue Tips.
It attaches to the shaft of any standard tip-up, and when the tip-up is triggered, it closes a circuit and sends out a Bluetooth transmission to whichever device you have listening.
Sounds like it's built for people who maybe have several lines going at once and maybe they went back to the house to make a sandwich or something like that. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yes. So I was actually just in northern Wisconsin a few hours ago and I just came back. But when I was up there, we fish out of our permanent ice fishing shack with our heater going in there. We keep it anywhere from 65 to 70 degrees.
Oh, that's balmy.
Yeah. And it just became annoying to us to always constantly have to look out to see if our tip-ups had gone up.
Could this be used for other ways of detecting movement? Could you put a trip wire somewhere out in your yard to see if the deer were crossing it and be alerted in the same way? Or is this pretty focused on the tip-up itself?
Any application you can think of that needs to sense motion, then technically, yes, you could really use Blue Tips for whatever you can dream up.
Now, obviously, I'm asking someone who's biased, but do you get the sense that it really makes a difference in making sure that ice fishermen aren't losing fish off the line?
I can 100% guarantee that it does, because when you get to the tip up faster, it gives that fish less time to spit the lure out of its mouth.
Brad Zdroik is the creator of Blue Tips. Brad, thank you very much.
You got it.
There's a link to Blue Tips on our website, by the way. Happy fishing, and keep your phone charged. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.